What can oral health tell us about kidney health? Recently analyzed evidence points to a clear link between chronic kidney disease and periodontal disease. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to explain are University of Cincinnati College of Medicine assistant professor and educator Priyanka Gudsukur. Thank you for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Ohio State University College of Dentistry Clinic Director, Dr. Matt Messina. Thanks for being here, Dr. Messina.
Thanks, Lucy. It's great to be here.
Great to have you both. Professor Gudsukur, what link did you find between chronic kidney disease and periodontal disease?
Yeah. So the link between oral health, especially gum disease and kidney disease, show that these two conditions are not separate. In fact, they influence each other through inflammation in our body. So when someone has a gum disease, the bacteria, the inflammation from the mouth can actually enter into the bloodstream. This adds to the body's overall inflammation burden, which can actually worsen the kidney function over time.
So that's the connection, that the inflammation is what the kidneys and gum disease have in common?
Yes, absolutely. Kind of the weaker immune system, the worsening of oral health, and so it becomes a cycle which is continuous and makes one or the other more severe.
Oh, interesting. Dr. Messina, are some patients more likely to have gum disease? I don't know if it's because of access to care or other factors.
Well, I think it's everybody has it to some degree or another. You know, we know that the mouth is not a sterile place. And so the gum tissue is the place where the bacteria in the mouth can interact with the body. That's a point of contact. And certainly some people have more issues with trying to keep their mouth clean, trying to keep their gum tissues healthy. But it's really beneficial that regardless of your health situation, good oral health is something that you have some control over. You know, in other words, you can work harder and we can help as your dentist and dental team, we can help you learn better how to keep your teeth clean, how to keep your gum tissues healthier, which reduces the inflammatory burden on the body.
Hmm. Professor Gudsukur, is this connection why patients are required to have an oral health examination before a kidney transplant?
Yes, absolutely. And that is actually called as a dental clearance before you're going in for a transplant. You're required to have a mouth that is free of infections. You cannot have teeth that are dangling around. Any other gum infection, all of those have to be cleared because, you know what, there is a risk for infection that can go down your bloodstream if you have any infection in the mouth, and that can also lead to post-transplant complications. So it's very important that you get that dental clearance before a transplant.
Mm-hmm. So can serious oral health problems delay healing after surgery or a kidney transplant?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, Dr. Messina, what kind of oral health complications can patients have after a kidney transplant?
Well, certainly, any time that the body is immunocompromised in any way, our ability to fight off infections is reduced. So, once again, it all works back and forth. If someone has kidney issues and the body's inflammatory response is impaired, then the body doesn't have an effective ability to fend off that infection that's present around the teeth. So we can see reduced healing in the mouth. We can see situations where something that to the average person, a little gum irritation or getting a raspberry seed stuck underneath the gum line or something wouldn't be a big deal. But in somebody with a compromised immune system, all of a sudden that can spiral out into a full-blown infection.
Did you want to add something?
Yeah. And, you know, these patients that are on cyclosporins or calcium channel blockers, there is a gingival enlargement or an overgrowth in 80% of these people. So, again, depending on the drug and their long-term immunosuppression, the risk for infection is just high. Fungal infections, oral candidiasis, herpes reactivation, those are most commonly seen in the post-transplant phase as well.
Okay.
And even beyond just, you know, we can talk about transplant patients, but the average person will have some interaction between their whole body or systemic health and their oral health. That's what I love about Dr. Gutzakor's study bringing us here to talk about this is for years, people kind of considered their mouth as separate from the rest of the body. You know, we all joke about the old what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas ad. You know, we know that's not true, but people seem to believe that what happens in the mouth stays in the mouth, and that's not true either. So just simply trying to put the mouth back in the rest of the body, that's I've been practicing almost 40 years and we've been working all that time to try and get that accomplished. So I'm really glad we're having a chance to have this conversation.
Good. We're talking about the link between oral health and kidney health. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Professor Gutzakor, can you explain how you made this connection, what your study went through to kind of help establish this stronger link than maybe folks had thought about earlier?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just going to go back to the previous question and then bring you back here. So if you think about it, we have a separate dental insurance and a separate general health insurance. So really thinking, is the mouth a part of the body? Yes, it is. But we require a separate insurance, a separate school, dental school, medical school, both separate. So really, and you know, what happened was this really happened over a dinner conversation, to be honest. So my husband, Dr. Prakash Gutzakor, is a nephrologist who's a part of this study. And so we were just thinking, why do we think separately? So, you know, what went through the study was there is enough literature, there is enough evidence that is available that talks about these two specialities onto different scales. So let's try and bring them together. So really to do this, we went over 130 research papers that are talking about these links, that are talking about, yes, you know, oral health and chronic kidney disease, there is a bidirectional link, but we said we need to start somewhere and we need to speak outside that dental world, outside those walls, and go talk to these specialists that oral health matters. And so that's what went through the study. And, you know, you see the result is the paper.
I love that. A dinner table conversation between husband and wife about the importance of togetherness and connection. It's kind of a science love story, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if we can start something small, we need to get success there and then grow it so that everybody is, you know, noticing it and takes cognizance of that.
Yeah. So, Dr. Messina, we just talked about this dinner table conversation. What conversations should people with chronic kidney disease be having with their dentists?
Well, it's kind of funny. My wife's a dental hygienist. And so there's lots of dinner table conversation over the past 40 years, too, about how can we get people to pay better attention to their oral health. And one of the ways to, you know, we've been trying to get people to floss for years and years, but you know, I jokingly tell patients if they want to be top 10%, just floss every day. The more things that we can connect is reasons why people should change their behavior. You know, changing behavior is always difficult. So since there's emerging evidence with not only linking periodontal disease and kidney disease, but hypertension and diabetes and cardiovascular disease, there's all the more reasons to take better care of your health. And so what people should be asking their dentist about is, what can I do to take better care of my oral health? And it's a partnership between the dentist and the patient and their medical team. And so everybody has to work together, because all of these inflammatory links are indeed bidirectional. So improving your oral health can improve your blood sugar control for your diabetes, or kidney issues, or hypertensive control, and vice versa. If someone has their diabetes treated more effectively, then their gum tissue health is going to improve and the effectiveness of the oral hygiene is going to be better. So the healing in the mouth is going to be significantly improved. So it's all about what can each person do to be their best version of themselves.
Professor.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Most recently, there is a newer awareness coming around something called as a cardiometabolic triad, which means cardiovascular disease, hypertension, chronic kidney disease, and diabetes, where, you know, and in all of these conditions, gum disease, periodontitis is, you know, a common feature that we see and is bidirectional. Therefore, and then we know the number of patients with diabetes and hypertension is constantly increasing, taking them towards chronic kidney disease and cardiovascular disease eventually. So there is kind of a thing where we see, you know, even if you have either of those conditions, you're educated, get that awareness, start brushing, flossing, those regular dental visits, and then actually making the dentist a part of your care team.
Yeah. And this is going to sound like a very basic question, but explain what it means when something is bidirectional. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So when I say it's bidirectional is that the inflammation that's in the body, it is also caused by chronic kidney disease, and it is also caused by gum disease that we dentists call it as periodontitis. So when we say it's bidirectional is that one affects the other. So one actually worsens the other, causes more severity, you know, there's more chance of an abscess or an infection in your mouth. And that can lead to added complications. So that is what I mean by bidirectional.
Okay.
And it means that treating it requires working on both ends at the same time as well.
That makes sense. Dr. Messina, what are some of the signs and symptoms for people that you're having dental problems? I think we all know a toothache is a sign, but that there, it seems like it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, by the time it's gone to a toothache, that's further than it needed to be found. Especially with the gum tissue inflammation, the periodontitis we're talking about here, we're talking about gum tissues that are puffy or swollen, different colored than the area around it, that bleed when you brush your teeth or bleed when you floss, and a bad breath, a bad taste in the mouth, all of these things are things that should give you pause. When you brush your teeth and your gums bleed, that's not a healthy sign. Some people accept that as normal, but that is not a sign of health. And so these are reasons to visit with your dentist and their team and have a thorough examination and develop a plan on how to improve your overall oral health.
Yeah. And just to add to that, patients that are on dialysis, that are taking those medications for their kidney disease kind of tend to have something called as xerostomia, which means their saliva in their mouth goes down and they have this feeling of dry mouth. So because of dry mouth, just the dental decay, number of infections just goes up, severe pain, gingival bleeding, all of those signs are really, the starting points that you need a dentist referral. You should be visiting your dentist and both teams should take care of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are other medications that can cause dry mouth and that can all add to these oral problems. It sounds like oral
Absolutely,
health problems.
Absolutely, yeah. And then just the inflammation of your mouth, it's called as stomatitis and bad breath and bleeding, all of those things start building up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think people should start to expect more that, their physician, their medical team may be recommending that they see a dentist, and also their dental team may recommend that they see their PCP. Because we're all working on trying to achieve the best overall health for the patient, and it is a team effort.
Mm-hmm. Professor Gutsakar, based on what you found in this research, is there a specific oral health regimen that patients should follow, especially if they're undergoing dialysis or something like that?
Yes. More in terms of, going back to that teamwork, the team should be actually, instead of asking just what was your last visit to the dentist, actually recommending more dental visits, because that's kind of a nudge to these patients to go see their dentist. Obviously, toothbrushing, flossing, that regular dental hygiene is not an option, but taking extra care, watching for these signs and symptoms really early and not waiting for for that pain stage to come, instead doing a preventive cycle, because again, you know, the prevention cycle is economically also viable. So kind of being on that preventative model rather than going on to the treatment model is what we found, you know, should be working more for these patients.
Yeah. Do you find, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Messina.
No, no, just real briefly. Dentally, we always recommend the healthy four for the patients, which is brushing twice a day for 2 minutes, flossing or using a water floss or something clean between your teeth, eat a healthy diet, see your dentist on a regular basis. The regular basis may be different for different people. And so someone with other medical complications may need to see their dentist on a more frequent basis, and your dental team can help determine the right interval for you.
Mm-hmm. Professor Goodsikar, based on your findings, would you like to see dentists and nephrologists work differently, more collaboratively? What are you hoping is the message that the medical community gets from this?
Yes, I think it requires embedding a few of these key practices into nephrology services. I think the most immediate ask would be having that close oral health surveillance. If, you know, that is encouraged for the patients by the nephrologist, like they're doing the blood pressure management, their blood sugar level management, having a close oral health surveillance, that would be definitely one. Again, talking about the separated systems, as our systems are separated, so are our dental records separated. So, you know, if our dental data can live in our nephrology charts and vice versa, that will be so helpful for each of these professions to understand the whole picture, the holistic care for that patient. So really, if there is a way we can connect, and I know there are a lot of efforts being put towards that medical dental integration, but seeing those data, not having those data live onto separate platforms, just bringing them together, making them available, and then making a little bit of more of the dental training available to our medical students, to the nephrology fellows, that could be, you know, the next step. Like I say, that could be my dream come true future. But yeah, those would be some immediate, you know, call to actions and future steps that we would really like to see.
Yeah. What are the barriers to, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Messina.
No, no. I was just going to say from my perspective, what I hear all the time from patients are, you know, why do you need to take my medical history? You're just cleaning my teeth. And my answer to that comes right out of what we're talking about here, which is, well, let me tell you a story about why this all really matters. So I think patients can expect more questioning on the part of their dental teams about their overall health, because it absolutely matters.
Yeah. Professor Goodsikar, what are the barriers to those dream scenarios that you mentioned, being able to see all those dental records with the medical records, having more training, more dental training in medical school? I mean, what's it going to take to make that happen? Are those tall orders?
Kind of tall orders, but work is in progress, especially on the medical dental integration side. Like, if you know, we have our electronic medical records and electronic dental records. We use separate platforms. So, you know, with the technology getting better and better every day, there are definitive efforts being made to make those dental records available on those modules that are there within our electronic health records system. So there's work in progress, but there's a lot to be done. You know, the codes, and obviously then that, you know, slowly takes us towards insurance and billing. That's a different world. We don't want to get there today. But that, and then barriers in terms of education, I think that is the low-hanging fruit we must go and tackle, because med students from our research show that get about 20 to 25 minutes of dental education.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
20 to 25 minutes.
Yes. In their entire lifespan of medical school, we can definitely increase that. You know, that would be something that will give them early awareness as a profession towards the dental problems that some of these patients that they might see in the future might have.
Yeah. Dr. Messina, does that sound like a good idea to you?
Oh, it's a fantastic idea. And it is something that I think the professions are working on. Interprofessional education, so bridging the gaps of training. I know at Ohio State, we do a number of programs between the College of Medicine, the College of Dentistry, OT, PT, pharmacy, nursing, all coming together, VetMed, all coming together to talk about patient care. And it just opens doors for communication so that people understand and respect what everybody brings to the table, because no one medical personnel can come and know everything. So everybody has to bring their expertise. And when we focus all that on better patient care, the patient wins every time.
And Dr. Messina, speaking of communication, it sounds like you say, hey, patients, you've really got to communicate with your dentist about what's going on, huh?
Well, one of the advantages of integrated medical and dental records, Ohio State just switched our dental records, joined Epic, which is the medical software system, within the last year. And patients can't, you know, lie to me anymore. You know, I can see their whole medical chart. But prior to that or without that integration, it's my job to convince my patients why it's important for them to tell me the truth.
Okay.
To tell me everything about their medical history, because it all matters.
I'm going to stop you there. Thank you. I've been talking with University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Assistant Professor and Educator Priyanka Gudsekar and Ohio State University College of Dentistry Clinic Director Dr. Matt Messina. Thank you so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.